welcome to the Class Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Chris, and returning this week because of the mountain of positive responses that we got, Neil.
Hey.
And honestly, the real reason he's here is because Q was supposed to be on here, but his computer kind of messed up.
It's okay, guys. I like Q better, too.
Yeah. Actually, we got a pretty much kind of like a zero-sum kind of response, which is always good.
Yeah, at least they don't hate me.
Right. I guess not. I mean...
And not enough, they not enough to say anything.
Yeah, they don't care enough to say anything.
Yeah.
Alright, so... Elimination Chamber happened, and all in all, I think it was a pretty good pay-per-view.
I thought it was alright. I mean, it was functional. Like, there weren't any, like, huge spots or like, oh my god, I gotta sit up and, like, freak out or... You know, no huge surprises or anything like that.
Right. Okay. Yeah, alright, fair enough. I mean, okay, we could start with the kickoff show, but there's really not much to talk about the kickoff show.
No, there wasn't.
Stardust and Zack Ryder, hooray. And then, you know, the Meta Powers came to help Daniel Bryan with Miz and or something. I don't know. So we'll start with the actual show. With the tag team elimination chamber match for the championship.
So they answered the question everybody was wondering: how they going to fit the New Day inside one of those pods
with slightly bigger pods?
With bigger pods,
or at least they looked a little bit bigger than what they normally were.
I think they were bigger,
or at least wider.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it was same like width distance because it was they're always right up against the post.
Okay, okay.
So. That didn't change. It's just I think they made it a little bit wider.
Yeah.
And so okay. First thought I had was when everybody was, you know, coming after their music, taking forever. Los Matadores came in with El Torito, and El Torito decided that he was going to stand on top of the AirPod.
Yeah.
Reminded me a lot of a hood ornament. And then the very next team to come out is, you know, Team Uppercats.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so does that mean, like, Natalya's gonna sit on top of their pod? I'd be okay with that, because that means Natalya would get involved in the match, and that'd be kind of awesome.
In Roman times, in the Colosseum, it was legal.
This could be, like, really interesting or really awful.
Really inappropriate.
That, or whatever. Go on.
In Roman times, in the Colosseum, it was legal to have women gladiators fight midget gladiators, but neither of those could fight male gladiators.
Honestly, that sounds very much like WWE.
Exactly!
Matter of fact, that was relevant. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure Los Matadores and El Torito had what they called an interspecies match against Uppercats and Natalya. And I think Natalya only fought El Torito in that match.
Well, there you go.
But she probably wasn't allowed to have a match against the other members of the tag team.
Yeah, just like a regular mixed tag team match, which I think those are dumb anyway, but...
Yeah. But yeah, no, that actually is exactly WWE's ruling.
Yeah, they're just, you know, fans of classical history.
And they're not midgets, Neil.
Little people?
No. Vertically challenged. Vertically capable. How's that? Is everyone good with that? Vertically capable? Alright, screw it, I'm leaving it in.
We're friends with stools.
Thank you for hitting that one out of the park for me. So it was a fun match. I thought it was, you know, Kalisto climbed to, like, the very top of the cage.
Oh, yeah.
Fell, and then...
A little bit of a JOMO, John Morrison.
A little bit of John Morrison. And then, you know... And that was kind of the running joke of the night with Kalisto, is, like, he spent more time climbing than he did doing anything else. Which, you know, I'm guessing that's the biggest reason why to put him in the match in the first place, is the guy's gonna fly, let him fly.
Yeah, if you got it, use it.
Right. I mean, and that El Torito was pretty much, you know, to a little bit of a lesser extent, it was used in the same fashion.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, I liked the New Day having all three guys allowed to be in it. That was a really good heel tactic.
Yeah. You have as many people as you can fit in a pod. That should be a rule.
That can get uncomfortable real quick.
That's why I want to see it.
Okay, you've been on 4chan too long. You need to go home. But it ultimately came down to New Day and Primetime Players. And I'll tell you what. Titus O'Neil looked really good in this match.
He did. This is true.
And he had a pretty good follow-up the next night on Raw.
I was just thinking that. Yeah, on Raw he looked really good, too.
The way he worked was a little careless. I noticed that on Raw. Like, it just felt like more... He's not, like, wowing everyone with his technical prowess. He's throwing people around.
Yeah.
You know?
But he's putting energy into it.
Right. He's putting energy into it, and it's compelling to watch.
Yeah.
He's not going to put on a 5-star match anytime soon. I don't think so, but...
It's progress for the primetime players.
Right. But ultimately, you know, the whole numbers game, New Day, all three of them pile on for the win.
Yeah. The match was kind of messy, but I mean, that's kind of the fun of an elimination
It was
hard to know what to watch and, like, who to keep
it was. It was a fun chaos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, but that's what you're going to get when you have 13 people in a cage.
For sure.
Essentially. Next is the triple threat match for the Divas Championship, with Brie and Tamina being banned from ringside. So it was, you know, it was a up, straight up and down triple threat match between the three of them.
Yeah.
Nikki ended up getting the win. It was kind of weird the next night on Raw. Like, I don't know if Naomi got hurt or something or whatever, but Paige was just like, now that Naomi's out of the way, it's just you and me. You know, there was no, like, I was expecting that was the perfect moment for Naomi to be like, hold on, come out from the back and be like, hold on, no, I'm not out of the way, I'm still here, you know?
Yeah.
But that didn't happen.
That kind of does bury Naomi, doesn't it?
It kind of does, especially since she's so new to the upper echelon of the Diva rankings, which...
Skill-wise, I think she belongs there, but...
Absolutely, skill-wise, she kind of, her and, like, a couple other people that are not the Bellas... belong up there. Bellas have improved, yes, but they are not at her technical level.
I mean, she doesn't have a super strong character developed at this point, but...
Yeah, and that comes in time. Like, again, this is a very recent change for her, this character. I think it's, like, the past 2 months, maybe?
Yeah, that's so fair.
I mean, in a way, she should kind of be there as far as, like, you know, comfortable in that character, and I think she very much comes across that she is comfortable with this character. And so I feel like she's developed in that fashion. So it's weird that she's just been kind of looked over now that Paige is back. I don't know. It was odd to me how they just kind of, like, you know...
Brushed her aside.
It was the same thing when we were dealing with Crazy Alicia Fox. Which I love
and
I want more of.
Well, when she was...
She flipped the switch, and all of a sudden she was at the... You know, she's now put at the top of the Divas Division and was going for the championship. And then as soon as that was over, back to
nothing. You know, every Raw, she do usually have a spot where she, like, she, you know, steal JBL's hat or something crazy like that. But, like, the first night she didn't have one of those, we never saw her again. Like,
right. And then they did a quick thing. I forgot who... It was right before Oksana got released, I think. Because Oksana was in on it
some way.
I think. And then she turned on Oksana, I don't know.
I forgot Oksana was a person, but...
She is a person. She elbowed somebody's eye. Naomi, actually. She elbowed Naomi's eye.
Really?
And then Naomi came out with, like, a bedazzled eye patch for a couple weeks, which was funny.
I like that. That was actually kind of a clever way to deal with it.
Right? I feel like she should have made that her gimmick. Yeah. Although I'm pretty sure that really screwed it with her
depth perception.
Yeah.
I don't know. Blind people wrestle. Amateur wrestling, but...
Okay. All right. I was about to say, like,
Not pro wrestling.
But then again, I'm sure there's some promotion somewhere that is pushing the crap out of a poor blind wrestler, and they are exploiting him to no end.
As long as he's getting paid.
Sure. Oh yeah. Fair enough. Why we're talking about blind wrestlers now?
Fascinating radio.
It's not radio, it's a podcast. Whatever. Moving on to Kevin Owens versus John Cena.
This
it's an amazing match.
Yep.
Okay. B, it's not quite all one-sided. You know, it's not quite Brock Lesnar, John Cena.
Oh, from no, SummerSlam last year.
But it did feel like the majority of the offense was Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I mean, John Cena got offense in, mm-hmm. but it wasn't...
Kevin Owens was throwing everything he knew at him.
Yeah, there was no, like, Super Cena moment where John Cena gets beat down for 90% of the match, and then the last 10% he's got amazing offense, or anything like that. Like, John Cena had a couple of, like, times he tried to rally, but Kevin Owens looked like he was in control for most of that match, and that's something... rarely seen a John Cena match.
Very true. Or, you know, well, it's seen mostly in, you know, when he's up against the guys that are bigger than him kind of fight.
The guys that are getting monster built, like the right. Rusev early on matches.
Right, and Big Show or Mark Henry or Great Khali or whatever. They'll get, like, all the offense in early, and then, you know, John will make the big comeback at the end.
Yeah.
You know.
But it wasn't even one of those, you know.
It wasn't. Like, it was John Cena would get some offense here, and then Kevin Owens would take over for the majority of the time.
Yeah.
And then it would kind of go back and forth, but then most of it was Kevin Owens.
It was definitely a believable kind of match pacing.
And then Kevin Owens, this new brash indie guy, straight off of NXT, he's been in the company... maybe, what, 6 months, maybe?
Yeah.
Been on the main roster for, like, a couple weeks. Pins John Cena clean. Like...
clean.
Clean. About as clean as it gets.
Yep.
No riffraff, no shenanigans, no hullabaloo, no nothing.
It wasn't a gimmick match of any kind,
it was a straight up and down match, everything done was legal, and Kevin Owens pinned John Cena. Up is down, down is up, left is right, and vice versa. We are living in some weird Twilight Zone dream right now.
For the rest of the night, everybody was saying, you know, anything could happen. You know,
and that was the thing. I was like, okay, fine. You don't really think Dean Ambrose is going to win and be the champion, right? And then Ghost Joel was his spirit was sitting next to me, and he was like, well, Kevin Owens did pin John Cena, and I'm like, yeah, we're in a weird, different reality, and I'm sitting here talking to a ghost. Like, it's... something is weird. Something is up right now.
Somebody hit a switch somewhere.
Right? Like, it's like all of a sudden, Vince was like, hey, Triple H, you want to take her for a spin just for one night? You book this thing for me, all right? You call the shots. I'm just going to be grumpy grandpa here in the background, just griping at all these indie guys and how, you know, they're too fat or too small or whatever, or too skinny.
Not grabbing those brass rings?
Not grabbing those brass rings, even though they clearly do. And I'm ignoring it because I don't like how they look. So.
That's Vince for you.
But yeah, Kevin Owens wins. He cuts a pretty good promo at the end, cuts a great promo the next night. John Cena comes out, cuts a pretty great promo himself.
It's pretty classic then, John Cena, but it's a good John Cena.
Right. And then, you know, puts over the kid in the front row that beat cancer, and I'm like, okay, well, what is Kevin Owens supposed to say now?
I mean, yeah, that was kind of like high-roaded, like,
come on. And then, of course, the best thing for Kevin Owens to do is just he angrily leaves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is the best thing to do. Because what is he going to do? Like, you know, like, say awful things about the kid who survived cancer? Like, come on.
Well, I mean, we're going to get into this later on, but I thought Paul Heyman had some interesting things to say about the way John Cena cuts a promo.
Okay.
Cuts
well, a promo we'll, with regards we'll to people. Hold on to that thought. We will.
That's when we get back. We will get to it.
Okay, next we have Neville versus Bo Dallas.
This is pretty much the match you expected.
Straight up and down kind of thing.
Yeah.
We have the Elimination Chamber match for the Intercontinental Championship. Ryback, R-Truth, Sheamus, King Barrett, Dolph Ziggler, and Mark Henry replacing Rusev.
Yes.
Okay. Like, it was... okay. It's one of those things where it wasn't a bad match.
Right.
You know? It's just something, it just wasn't as, I didn't enjoy it as much as the tag team championship one.
You know, this match to me was kind of indicative of the pay-per-view as a whole. Like, it worked, It was functional. We got the spots we expected.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, except for the Kevin Owens thing. It was,
well, yeah.
It, I mean, it was pretty much, you know, up and down. You get what you expected.
Right, yeah. I don't know. Like, clearly, like, the tag team match was just the spot fest. Like, it was just spot after spot after spot.
There were so many people in there that they had enough energy in that ring to be doing spots all over the place.
Right. And, you know, this one had some good spots. Like, the only ones that I remember a lot was who was it that got thrown into the pod and the glass kind of just moved out of place and Markin was like, well, I guess I'm in the match now.
That made sense.
He was like, I'm in it now.
I mean, that was a good audible on his part, because it didn't look intentional either.
Probably not. And then, the Sheamus spot, where he was originally supposed to come out and the door was...
Oh, and then it was jammed.
And then you find out, like, 5 minutes later, that Sheamus intentionally jammed it up.
Yeah, with his little necklace thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean... It wasn't a terrible spot.
It wasn't. Do you feel like it undercuts his character a little bit, though? Because, like, to me, Sheamus has always been, I just like fighting. I want to go out there and beat people up. Like, I don't care about winning. I'm just here to, you know, crush people. And then him, like, to me, that kind of comes off as, like, a coward move or, like, an underhanded, like, heel CM Punk kind of move or something.
Right. And I even hated that when CM Punk did it.
Yeah.
Because I felt like almost every heel was doing that. Like, yeah. Seth Rollins does it perfectly, and I think it fits him. Like, he fits mm-hmm. his heel character. But there's too many heels that resort to that.
Yeah.
So I think Miz is a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Sheamus is now apparently like that. And it's a bunch of others that I'm probably forgetting, but...
Yeah, like, especially, like, when they're supposed to be just this monster, like, I just like hurting people kind of heel, like, character. It doesn't really fit for them to be doing that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah, because that's like, what Kevin Owens is doing. Like, he's the fighting heel character.
Yeah.
You know? That he backs away from matches, not because he's afraid, but he's like, you know, I'm a money fighter, or something kind
of thing. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't see Brock Lesnar doing stuff.
No,
like that.
No. That guy.
I mean, he doesn't need to, and it's good that
they don't make him do it.
Like,
yeah,
that. Yeah.
So, in a sense, yeah, with Sheamus and his attitude about, like, him being the toughest guy in the room, kind of thing, that kind of doesn't fit. And it's a weird spot because, you know, you make one wrong cut with the camera, and the entire universe misses that.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
And they're like, why, how, you know? And, of course, I'm sure they timed it right.
Well, they got it figured out, to their credit. I mean, they, you know, all the camera guys and the
support
guys got
it wrong. Now, what was weird, it was that there was a point where Sheamus was trying to go back into the pod.
Oh, yeah.
And it was jammed up again. I don't understand that, because he took the cross out.
You're right. I mean,
and then he was trying to go back, like, what, did he stick it back in there? I guess, obviously he did, because that's what happened, but... That didn't make any sense.
No.
You know, why, if you're going to keep that as kind of like a back, like, you know, you have it in your back pocket, like, I can just go back in this pod and just kind of, like, wait it out for a little bit longer.
Yeah, why would he have left the pod in the first place if he had control over it?
He eventually comes out because he wants to, you know, beat up on people.
Yeah.
But he's has it in the back of his head, in character. This character's like, oh, I can come back to this pod whenever this becomes too much.
And take a break?
Take a break, whatever. And then he puts I guess he just sticks the cross back in there while he's fighting. And then whenever he tries to go back in, all of a sudden he can't get the cross out.
Okay.
To get back into the pod.
Okay. I guess.
Again, Sheamus, the character, whether it is heel or face, is the biggest idiot in the room.
This is true. That has been consistent.
Yes. But ultimately...
Well, I don't know. Consider who won.
Well, okay. Fair enough. But the Ryback did win, and that's something that I did enjoy. I enjoyed that Daniel Bryan was sitting here putting him over as the Ryback.
That was a little odd that... I don't know. I guess they were friends from back in the day.
For those of you that don't know, which I'm assuming most of you guys do, because everyone loves Daniel Bryan and has heard almost every interview he's put out, and anytime he... 9 times out of 10, when he's in an interview, he will talk about the old days when him and Ryback would drive together, and he would refer to him as the Ryback.
Yeah.
Because A, it sounds better, and B, it would kind of piss him off a little bit. And apparently, Ryback is fun to piss off. Because there's also that Panera story. Ryback just has a fit because there's nothing on the menu that he wants to eat.
Daniel Bryan.
Right. So, and this was, like, before Ryback even, like, premiered on TV. Like, he was just doing, like, dark matches and stuff.
Well, he had a decent indie run for a while, didn't he?
Who?
Or Ryback.
No, he's been in their developmental program forever.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was actually on one of the Tough Enough.
Oh, yeah?
I don't think he was in... I don't believe he... He might have done a little bit of indie stuff after that. But, yeah, he had been in developmental for a long time. Remember, he was in the original NXT.
Oh, yeah.
He was in Nexus as Skip Sheffield.
Yeah. And he was somehow not the biggest person in that stable. Because of freaking Mason Riley or...
Mason Ryan came later.
Oh, really?
Yes.
See, like, that was and right actually, when no, I first started watching.
Mason Ryan, he didn't come in until CM Punk was doing the new Nexus stuff. Because CM Punk was the one that brought him in.
Okay.
Yeah. The guy that we called Wilshie.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That guy was huge.
He was, and he was also horrible in the ring.
Also, yes.
Yes. And then that leads us to our main event between Seth and Dean for the World Heavyweight Championship. And nice little other note was if Roman Reigns entered or interfered, Ambrose would be disqualified.
Yep.
Good match. I mean, it's a Dean and Seth match.
What were you expecting?
Exactly.
You know,
it's going to be a fun match. It's going to be a good match, and it's going to be, you know, not necessarily something we haven't seen before, but something that we enjoy seeing.
I mean, these guys can work. They
yes,
got a problem.
Yes,
I
more
mean.
Please. You know that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah,
yeah. Had the spot at the end was a nice little way to kind of get out of it.
Yep.
Because it's like, you know, I'm making the assumption that they want to remain Seth to be the champion, okay? Because I'm assuming they're going to do a thing between him and Brock before this is all said and done. Because yeah. Brock is going to come back, he's going to come back as a face.
That's what it's looking like.
And Seth is the guy for him to do it against, you know?
Yep.
So I'm assuming they want to keep it on Seth for right now. But at the same time, they're wanting to still build Dean, so they're not...
They're not going to make him look bad.
They don't want, you know, to take his feet out from underneath him. So, a way to do that, apparently, is have Seth purposely put the ref in harm's way, knock the ref out. Dean comes in and, you know, gets the pin while another ref comes in. Still gets a 3 count. Everyone goes nuts. And I'm thinking Ghost Joel is right about this alternate dimension that we're in.
Yeah.
Holy crap, Dean Ambrose is our World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah.
When do we see that coming? And the same night that, you know, Kevin Owens beats John Cena clean. Like, what the crap is going on?
I mean, my theory was there's going to be shenanigans or he's going to get it taken away on Raw the next
sure
night.
Sure enough, the ref that got knocked out comes too. And he's like, oh, Seth put me in the way. Let's DQ him but still have Dean win.
I'm surprised they didn't have something on Raw where, like, the ref, you know, they showed off Triple H like, hey, good job, you know, keeping the belt where it was supposed to be. Or,
Even though it was technically correct. Right, that's kind of a mixed message, because, I guess, congratulations to that ref for getting it right, but now we're still angry because Dean ran away with the belt.
I suppose.
Like, they needed to focus on Dean, because that was the storyline of Raw the next night. Well, A, because Roman Reigns was there, and his buddy wasn't, so they kind of had to punish Reigns because he was the guy there.
I thought that made for a good Raw, too. That it kind of had that theme going the whole night, that rather than...
Yeah.
We have something at the beginning telling you what we're going to do at the end of the night, and then we do that thing at the end of the night, and then everything else in the middle is just filler.
Yeah. And I do kind of like those Raws where there's a nice, like, thread of plot going throughout the entire night, which they typically try to do.
Yeah.
But typically it's always...
It seems really forced.
It seems really forced and usually always revolving around Seth.
Yeah.
At least it is the past few months.
And it did make Roman look good. It was kind of one of the... You know, we were saying when everybody was against Roman, that he needs something to work where we can see that he's, you know, putting the time in and putting the effort in. And yeah. just seeing him get beat up the whole night kind of felt like, okay, this guy is, like, quote-unquote earning it. You know, I think that's what WWE is trying to do with that storyline. That Roman is, he's not, you know, the guy everybody loves necessarily, but they're trying to make it look like, you know, he's a hard worker. You know, right. he's not the chosen guy that everybody
wants to make. Yeah, and see, that was, and again, that's what they should have done before the Royal Rumble.
Oh, for sure.
But ever since the Royal Rumble, that's what they've been doing, and for the most part, it seems to be working out pretty well because, you know, now we're seeing, okay, Roman is actually putting the work in. They're mm-hmm. putting him in these difficult matches. They're not just squash matches because
that nobody, doesn't help anybody.
Nobody really respects squash matches anymore. No. You know, we learned that with Ryback. Rusev somehow was able to kind of do that for a little while, but still, like...
But they weren't even... The ones that... He did that at first, and nobody cared. And then right. once he started beating up on people that actually meant something,
that was a good thing. Like they didn't have Rusev beating up nobodies for as long as they've been known yes. to do that. Like Ryback, yeah. they were doing that for months,
absolutely.
And the same, and you, sometimes the same guys, like
or it would be like a 3-man band or something, like
right?
that.
And he would do that like 3 times in like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Same thing with Brodus Clay. Like, they were... I can't even remember how many times he had squash matches against Curt Hawkins and JTG. You know?
Yeah.
So, it's kind of like they finally stopped using that formula as much. I know it's going to be a formula that they dip to every now and then.
I don't think you're going to be able to ever get away from it 100%.
No.
And especially starting out, like, oh, of course the guy that just showed up isn't going to get a match against... You know, Seth Rollins or John Cena or somebody, he's got to start out, but very quickly advance right. through, I think.
But, like, it's the same reason that Kevin Owens' first match in NXT was against CJ Parker, the hippie dude with the dreads that broke his nose.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, just like a flat hand to the face, and you heard it like a Ooh. Nice little snap. Oof. And, you know, just bleeding profusely.
Yeah, that's not.
But it was a pretty, like, that was a pretty badass. That was a pretty badass look. He's like, yeah, I'm new to NXT and I'm bleeding all over the place. Welcome to me, guys. How's it going? You know? I will. Okay, speaking of NXT, I do need to bring this up. I watched NXT tonight. They made an announcement. Early July, WWE's going to have another international tour.
Okay.
On July 4th, they're having a big show in Japan.
Okay.
Like, apparently Brock Lesnar's going to be there, too.
Wow.
Like, they... Or at least that's what,
Is this NXT on tour, or is this...
No, this is, like, the company.
Okay, the company. Okay.
The company. And, like, you know, William Regal, they're, like, set up as a press conference. He was like, you know, the likes of John Cena, Brock Lesnar...
Yeah.
You know, all these other people are going to be on this tour. And I was asking, you know... William Regal, he's like, I was asked that if, you know, if NXT would like a presence at Japan. He's like, absolutely. Oh, okay. So, on July the 4th, live on the WWE Network, for the NXT Championship, is going to be Kevin Owens versus Finn Balor.
Nice.
That's going to be pretty amazing, especially, you know, Finn Balor, then, you know, Prince Devitt, kind of ruled Japan for a long time.
Oh, yeah. For a while. Yeah.
He won a lot of championships there.
Yeah.
So, I have a feeling like this is going to be a really good time for somebody to finally beat Kevin Owens. Where better than, you know, Japan for Finn Balor to win the championship?
Yeah, I mean...
And I have a feeling by that point they'll probably be ready for Kevin to not have the NXT belt. Because he's, from what we understand, he's going to be on the main roster full time.
Yeah, I mean, it would be surprise me if he stayed in NXT for very long.
Right. So by that point, it would be okay for him to make the full transition to just the main roster.
Yeah,
I feel like.
Do you know how much like viewership WWE stuff gets in Japan? Because you know they have their own like I guess it's just New Japan now, but you know they have their own promotions and everything, which I assume right. in their language.
I know that. I don't know if any of WWE stuff gets shown there live. I do know that they were making a big deal of with Hideo Itami was on NXT. Like, I think it was around the same time that they were announcing that, oh yeah, NXT is going to be shown in Japan now. And okay. I'm like, well, that's convenient.
I think I do remember that.
It was something along those lines. And yeah. I could be, like, remembering that incorrectly. But they... when judging from everything that I've seen as far as, like, photos and short, like, fan videos or whatever, when WWE comes to town, it's a huge deal.
The last time I remember they were in Asia is when they made that trip to China. Remember that a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, over here, it was
the first time they had ever been in China.
Yeah, it seemed like it was more of a promotion for WWE than it was a promotion, you know, to Chinese viewers. At least that's the way it came across to me.
Yeah.
Sitting here in the U.S. watching it. But I don't know
It was very much of like, hey, this is the first time we've ever been in your country. Hi, this is what we're all about.
Yeah.
You know? I'm pretty sure they've probably had, you know, at least, you know, TV coverage of their stuff, especially their big events, at least. At the very least, these countries absolutely have WrestleMania every year.
Yeah. And I mean, China is such a big market. There's got to be at least enough people to make it worth it.
Absolutely. And, you know, Japan is such a wrestling-rich country. Like,
yeah.
It's in their culture if not more than our own.
They took to pro wrestling really, really fast. I mean, it slid in very comfortably to the existing culture over there when it first got started.
Pretty much. And, like, you know, to the point where guys who were big in the 70s and 80s are still, like, considered, like, gods among men there. Like, what was it? Like, of course, like, Hulk Hogan, when he went...
Yeah.
He was over big. Andre. And, like, Terry Funk.
Yeah.
Terry Funk.
Oh, yeah. He did a bunch of, like, the extreme stuff over there, didn't he?
Yeah. I think the infamous death match or whatever was between him and Mick Foley.
Yeah.
There. And then guys like Bruiser Brody. I'm blanking on his tag team partner for a long time. Guy had, like, he had the most brutal clothesline you've ever seen. And don't get me wrong, JBL threw a wicked clothesline.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing compared to... it's going to kill me. Because I'm currently, like... I'm 75% through Bruiser Brody's biography.
Okay.
And Stan Hansen, I believe?
Okay.
Yeah, so it was killing me because, you know, he's a big part of the book.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, those guys are huge in Japan and still are, like... You know, you'll still see merchandise every now and then. Like, apparently there was some, like, maybe a country album or something that Terry Funk did. And I think, like, you can still find copies of it somewhere in Japan.
I'll tell you what, I'd love to see more Japanese guys come over into WWE.
Absolutely, me too. Like,
you hear that all the time about, like, the Japanese strong style and all that. And you get, you know, maybe one or two at a time, but, like...
And see, that's the thing, like, I don't really think we're going to see a big influx of New Japan guys. Because Kenta, now Hideo Itami, he was in NOAH, a rival company.
Oh, I see.
But now, from what I understand, there's like a deal between the two of them to where they actually do a lot more cross-promotion.
Okay.
So, but New Japan is growing so rapidly. And there's such a hot market right now, especially with the success of Wrestle Kingdom 9 earlier this year.
There is a success internationally, which seems unusual for a Japanese
promotion. They're becoming a greater and greater success internationally. The internet helps.
Yeah. Everything I see on YouTube...
And so we're seeing some guys refuse WWE contracts in favor of going to Japan and basically making more money.
Were we talking about somebody last week that
yes,
did that?
Yes, tagged. Their last name is Jackson.
That real popular, like, indie tag team that was real hot.
Which is funny because their finisher is the Indie Taker. I'm really bad with names.
Go listen to the last podcast.
Yes. They essentially. Young Bucks. They basically, you know, turned down WWE's offer and really everyone else's offer, and it went to New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And lighting it up, they're part of Bullet Club, and they're doing incredibly well for themselves, as is all the other, like, AJ Styles definitely stands out.
Mm.
All these guys are going over there, having a lot of success, and pretty much seems content with it. Now, they might, like, you know... go the Samoa Joe route where they eventually end up at WWE because, you know, What else? Like, he's accomplished so much in his career. Why might as well get a crack at the biggest company in the world?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And rumor has it, well, it wasn't a rumor, Samoa Joe actually had a dark match at Raw this past week against Tyson Kidd.
Wow.
Rumor is, because there was a, he had a developmental, kind of a developmental contract where he was still able to work his independent dates and was able
right,
to book
yeah.
more. Apparently, because they started selling his shirts with WWE, because they got the a merchandise contract okay. in there. Apparently, his shirts did so great that they wanted to go ahead and sign him up full-time, completely, big-time WWE contract, and he will finish out... He's still going to finish out his indie...
The dates he already has, yeah.
Right, but from what I understand, probably not going to have future indie dates.
Well, if there's one thing we know about... If there's one thing we know about WWE, it's
if you
money
can,
talks.
Yeah, no, if you can sell
merchandise like that, then
right.
they will make you an offer.
Like, you know, we saw that with... As soon as a lot of the NXT guys started having merch, you started seeing a lot of them getting pushed.
Okay. Yeah.
Like Finn Balor's shirt went off the rack.
Finn Balor is definitely getting pushed, even just outside the NXT world. Like we're seeing a lot of buzz about him just from people that
yeah.
have no affiliation with WWE. You know.
Right. And then at the same point, like. You hear rumors, like, there's, like, a new rumor every week, and most of it circles around that Finn Balor, we don't know when he's going to go up to the main roster, might be soon, even if it's not, they're planning something huge for him. Now,
I believe it.
I heard that, like, last week. Now I'm thinking maybe that has something to do with the whole Japan thing on July 4th.
Oh, yeah, that could be coming at the same thing from
because,
two angles.
A, that would be the first time that NXT's done an international... You know,
This is true. Probably, you know, and Triple H was saying a while ago that he wanted NXT to tour around a little bit.
Yeah. And now they're, because, you know, now we got essentially two different touring groups. Like, it used to be the Raw group and the SmackDown group.
Yeah.
It's not so much that anymore because.
It's pretty much.
But now
Raw gets whoever Raw wants, and then the leftovers are SmackDown.
Essentially. But now, like, everyone's on pretty much both.
Yeah.
So they don't really. They just call them WWE Live. But the roster is still kind of split in half. Half of them tour one area, the other half tour somewhere. Like this weekend.
Well, like, yeah, the live event you went to this weekend.
Yeah, I went to the live event in Greensboro. At the same time, there's a live event going on in Laredo, Texas. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, rumor has it, Vince wants a third touring group, which that might. Because NXT is doing some dates here and there now.
Yeah.
That might be them.
See, I don't know who it would be other than NXT, because it seems like the main roster is pretty much... It's hard to get those guys around to all the different places they're supposed to be at. You know,
right.
Flying out to Greensboro and then flying back, you know, the same night or the next morning to go do stuff at in Texas.
Right.
In Corpus Christi. I mean, that's got to be hell on those guys. I don't know how you could do another date with those same people.
And that's the thing. Like, that's why they're wanting to maybe do a third...
Yep.
Division of it. Like, I don't know if they're going to split the entire roster in threes, you know, and then just have three touring groups.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because now we're getting, like, with all of the success of these, you know, big indie names coming in.
Yeah.
Especially with, there's a lot of people seem to think that their WWE starting to get worried about Lucha Underground. What I said with the Univision possible contract.
Yeah.
And there is a date coming up. I'm not sure. And it was, I don't know, it's some big date for Lucha, and they might even, they're trying to get on Netflix as well.
That's not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea, especially because they're very episodic and they have a season.
Right, it's not as
and
necessary
it's like,
for it to
there's
be,
a start date, yeah.
for them to be live, I think.
Yeah.
The way they're structured. Because I don't think Netflix has a live infrastructure, does it?
No. And essentially, they're trying to work it out to where they'll have new episodes like a day or two after they air on Netflix.
Okay.
So I know TV shows like Blue Mountain State would do that. Now it seems like, you know, a few months after a season ends, then it'll pop up on Netflix.
Yeah, I've seen that with international stuff, too, where it'll be like a Canadian Broadcasting Corporation
right.
program, or like a BBC program, right. and it'll be a joint venture between them and Netflix.
Right, but they'll release every episode in that season at once. Now, like I said, like, a few years ago, when the whole streaming thing with Netflix was kind of new or whatever, and they didn't have as much content, they would do that. They had a deal with shows like Blue Mountain State where, like, a couple days after it originally airs, then it would show up on, it would go week to week.
I see.
They don't do that anymore, but
yeah.
They're trying, apparently, to get that kind of attention with Netflix. So, at that point, a lot of rumors are saying that this is just going to try to, because now it feels like it's going to be a talent grab between the two companies.
I mean, I can see Lucha trying to snipe a couple of people, big names away, to try and coordinate with that launch.
WWE is just kind of like hungry, hungry hippos.
Yeah.
And like all these big indie names are little balls.
Go ahead and get them under a contract.
Right. So a lot of rumors are coming out now that they're trying to pick up AJ Styles from New Japan.
Oh, wow.
You know, which would be, you know, and really, like, if you think about it, now that they have Sting, they have Samoa Joe, the next biggest name that that is yet to, you know, be big in WWE would be AJ Styles.
Well, like,
I don't know if he's gonna, he's, I mean, he turned down TNA.
Yeah.
Like, recently, actually. They wanted him to have, like, one more match, and they were gonna put him in their Hall of Fame. And he denied them that.
Yeah, I you know? See him walking.
Right. Well, like, well, then he didn't really, I don't believe he left TNA on good terms either.
Yeah.
So that has something to do with it, I guess. So I don't know if those rumors are true or not. But it seems like WWE is on fire as far as picking up talent.
Well, you and Joel were talking about, like, there's kind of this list of the big names that WWE doesn't have access to. And it seems like lately they've been kind of going down that list in order. Okay, first we got, you know, or, well, not first, but, you know, making up with all the guys that used to be double WWE names, you know, make up with them, get them in the Hall of Fame, have them on TV. Then we're going to go get the guys that, you know, we never had, but were big names back in the day. And then now we're going to get
but still seem like guys that we, like, never be able to get, because honestly, I thought as soon as CM Punk walked away from the company, I was like, he's such close friends with Samoa Joe now, like, they're gonna see the way that they did his friend, and so now there's no way he'll be in WWE. And bam, look at him, there he is. He's, you know, now apparently signed a full time contract.
Well, gives us hope about CM Punk and
no,
the future.
It might be a few years away from that, I really think.
Oh, no, yeah, for in years from now, but.
So really, like, for me. Like, yeah, like, I'm not, I've never been too crazy about AJ Styles, especially now. You know, he's doing really good, big things in New Japan, and I think he's found his...
Well, you need people to work with.
He carved out his niche there. From a very selfish standpoint, I would love to see Nakamura go WWE, but again, he's one of those guys, you know, I want to say, like, his age, he doesn't have a whole lot of time, you know, to go through the developmental system, but then again, neither does Samoa Joe, and you saw...
Yeah.
You know...
It would be nice to see kind of a contract design like that, like what Samoa Joe has, because it sounds like Samoa Joe's contract is kind of a one-off deal right now, but it'd be nice to see one that's not quite a Legends contract, but for an experienced wrestler that doesn't necessarily need to go through developmental like some of these
they
guys
go, they kind of... And that's kind of what we've seen. They'll go through, like, the... like, the fast lane at Disney.
Like Hideo is doing right now. It's like right when he first signed, everybody said he's probably not going to be in NXT that long. He's already an experienced worker.
With him, I figured, you know, because of the language barrier, he's more. It's more of a. He's fine in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
It's more him getting that WWE mentality, kind of the way they do their psychology, and then, you know, picking up some English.
Yeah.
Like, I think he knew a little bit of English, but not much at all.
Yeah. And we don't need another guy that doesn't speak English on the roster.
No, we're fine. Or, again, just leave him and just give him a translator, or just have him wrestle and have that speak for himself. Like,
he'd do fine without being able to speak English.
But. He's one of those guys that, like, he's so good in the ring, he doesn't need to say a word.
Yeah.
And we're fine with it. So I felt like that was more the reason why Hideo would probably take a little bit in NXT. Finn Balor, he's good to go any moment.
Yeah,
like all those the top guys you see on NXT on a weekly basis, for the most part, most of them are good to go.
Yeah,
with the exception of, you know, like
Bolt Dempsey.
Bolt Dempsey's not even getting TV time on NXT anymore.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin, he needs some work.
Mm-hmm.
They announced on NXT today that Eva Marie was going to be joining NXT.
She
could barely even get the words out when people were just giving her hell. just yelling, and she's trying to, like, and, you know, she has, and see, that was the thing, like, they've been very much trying to promote her getting a lot of training lately.
Yeah.
And not only that, she's getting trained by Brian Kendrick.
Okay.
Which a lot of indie guys love. I love Brian Kendrick.
Yeah.
I thought him as the Brian Kendrick was the coolest. even though he's responsible for introducing us to Ezekiel Jackson.
you've seen those videos that, like, WWE puts out on, like, YouTube or whatever of, like, the, you know, so-and-so's training montage on
getting ready. And see, that's what they've been trying to do with their Instagram account. Like, she's...
Okay,
on Instagram, they've been showing a lot of, like, her and Brian... Like, not even at the Performance Center, but at Brian Kendrick's little school that he has.
Okay.
And she, you know, shows her, like, locking up with him, like, you know, showing her stuff and everything. And they're like... This is how we get her over as a face.
Yeah.
And it's still not working because we can't wash that Total Diva stuff out of her brain.
Oh, yeah. You they kind of poisoned the well, didn't they?
Like, they put her in the ring way too soon.
Yes.
Like, she was not ready. She knew next to nothing about wrestling. And they put her on Monday Night Raw in the ring.
Yeah. If she does have genuine talent and if she's trainable... And they do it. I think the NXT crowd is, you know, generous enough to give her that chance if she shows
right.
That she can
because,
work.
like we say time and time again, like it seems like just about everything gets over at NXT. If you can't get over in NXT in that Full Sail crowd, you're probably not.
And I mean, if you can genuinely wrestle, I think they'll notice that.
Oh yeah,
but. If you can.
But see, that's the thing, like, because with Baron Corbin, like, he would come out, and just his entrance, like, they set it up kind of cool, even though he was just, oh, I'm staring at the ground, now I'm looking up. Look at my entrance, yay.
Yeah.
Like, and all the girls go nuts for him. And, you know, and people would be into counting how long his matches were, because they were usually, like, under 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
His finisher's kind of cool, sure. And then he had an actual, like, long-ish match.
Uh-huh.
I think it might have been against... It was in the tournament for, like, a number one contendership, and I think it was against Finn Balor. And you could tell, like, he just did not belong there.
Mm.
Like, Finn Balor did what he could. I believe it was Finn Balor. I don't know. And then, like, even more so against Bull Dempsey, because they are... Both of them are awful.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, the blind leading the blind, and it was awful. And then all of a sudden they've been turning on him ever since.
And, like, even with Bull Dempsey, I remember the crowd just loved that shit, that bull, bull, bull chant. And, like...
Yeah, because people like a chant.
Yeah, it's
Zeno.
Yeah, it's a cool chant.
Not really.
It's
an easy chant, okay? Let's put it that way. It's an easy chant for them to yell.
But he never backed it up, is my point.
Fair enough. And, you know, even, like... I don't know exactly what they were wanting the fans to do in that match between... Baron Corbin and Rhino.
I didn't see,
like,
that.
It was at TakeOver.
Oh, maybe I didn't see that.
And basically, like, Rhino is a legend, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone loved him from ECW. Everyone loved him from WWE. You know, everyone loves that video of him doing the gore spear to Jericho through the SmackDown set. Because that was the last week they were using the SmackDown set, so they might as well demolish it.
Yeah, sure.
And so he gets a lot of nostalgia pop, as he should. He deserves it during the time that he's put in. And so now he's back in NXT, and he had a couple matches or whatever, and clearly he's going to get a pop, and clearly Baron Corbin's going to get the girls doing their pop. And so it's like, the fans were like, well... If we gotta choose, we're gonna choose Rhino.
Yeah.
And it didn't help that they were starting to kind of turn on Baron anyway, but it's awful. How did we get here?
I don't know. That was a long indie conversation.
Oh, yeah, because we were talking about WWE possibly looking into hiring AJ Styles.
And that and moving to Japan and all that.
Yeah.
Anyway, something to look forward to.
Yes. So, we need to touch on this Stone Cold Paul Heyman.
Yes, I'm sure that's what everybody's listening for.
Which is why we're saving it for last. I am the showman.
Can't
showman?
Dull, I guess.
Showman. Yeah, showman.
Showrunner?
I don't know. Anyway, First of all, okay, this is like the third or fourth time Paul Heyman has been on Stone Cold's podcast.
Yeah, I didn't start that up right at the beginning.
Right, and this is the first time, obviously the first time that the two of them did that on the network.
Mm-hmm.
And, you go back and listen to those Paul Heyman interviews with Stone Cold, because they're fun.
Yeah.
You know,
well, this one was fun.
Yeah, it was. And then it took a turn.
It certainly did.
At, the last 5 minutes?
Well, it was right at the end.
And for those of you that didn't watch it, I'm going to...
Okay, spoiler alert.
Yes,
go
spoiler
watch
here.
It.
Go watch it. Pause the podcast. Come back to us after you watch it. And go. And you're back. All right. Okay. How great was that, A? B, basically, what had happened was Paul Heyman, it seemed like he was, half jokingly setting the bait.
He was being Paul Heyman. You know, he likes to,
Well, yeah, but still, talking to him like it's his friend Steve.
Yeah.
And then Steve just,
he flipped a switch.
Yeah, he flipped a switch and he's like, oh, now I'm Stone Cold Steve Austin. I call myself Stone Cold Steve. Right now, I am Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And, they were putting over Brock Lesnar for the, 10 minutes before that.
And then he was like, it's how it's going to happen. I'm going to wipe the floor with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Very serious and being very, that maniacal, piercing look that we all
He was getting back seen. Into the Stone Cold character. He wasn't just Steve Austin, Broken Skull Ranch,
Yeah.
I'm just here having a good time.
Right.
He was getting back, either that character is based more on him in real life than, even we think, or he just started letting it out, or that was intentional.
Trust me, we know who he is in real life by the beginning of every podcast, because the beginning of every podcast, he talks about these giant rats that he has to deal with at the ranch. He loves his camper, and he talks about going camping with my wife.
He was even talking about getting Brock to go hunting with him.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so at the end, which I'm still if you want to look through KFAB somehow... Yeah, I don't know how that would be possible, but if you want to look in KFAB, it's yeah, I'm cool with Brock Lesnar. And then all of a sudden, Paul Heyman started poking at it. And
yeah.
All right, nah, screw that. I want to.
Paul Heyman brings up the whole thing that WrestleMania is going to be in Texas, and then we see the graphic up on the screen for WrestleMania being in.
So, okay. So now that we all know what happened, and, he basically tried to get Stone Cold to come back for WrestleMania 32 for a match against Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
Stone Cold played into it. He went full, Stone Cold character into it all.
Oh, I even, noted down that Stone Cold's whole head was getting red. He was started popping veins.
Right.
And, yeah,
So, on our Irrelevant But Awesome website... Hmm. Joel does this series every now and then where basically he takes a certain subject that everyone's really excited about and really stoked about, and he kind of is like, all right, let's reel it in a little bit, and let's, this is what we really need to be focused on, because you might be excited over nothing.
Yeah, try to pop the bubble a little bit.
Not exactly pop the bubble, but just all right, let's
deflate the bubble.
There you go. So, I don't want to, go full on, it's going to happen! Yeah, it's happening, yeah, guys! Yeah, yeah. You know? I don't want to go that full route. I want it to happen. I'll have guarded optimism about it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have basically been assuming that, there's been so much talk about Stone Cold coming back for one last match. And it's been something that we've talked about.
Yeah, even on the podcast, you've been talking, for years, Stone Cold versus CM Punk in Texas. Right. Oh, it'd be great,
Well, and we were okay, WrestleMania, we're on WrestleMania 28 or 29 or whatever, be a great time for Punk versus Stone Cold.
Yep.
And then after that, whatever. And then when we got done with 31, and we were talking about 32 a little bit, that's when it all kind of came back. We're like, it's going to be in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They really want to set that indoor attendance record or reset it or whatever.
Yeah.
They really want that record back. So they're going to go all out. They're going to reach deep in their pockets.
Yep.
And if there was ever time to, just on that alone, if there was ever time for them to try their best to convince Stone Cold to have one more match,
mm-hmm.
here's where it is, in his, you know, backyard, essentially.
Yeah.
So, at that thought, yes, part of me believes that this is something that could actually happen, but at the same time, I'm like, it could just be a hype machine kind of thing.
Well, you know? Yeah, that's one,
like,
possibility.
It could be, like, them spinning this for the next few months and be like, you won't believe what happened between Paul Heyman and Stone Cold.
We'll see next Raw.
Get the network now to go watch it, you know?
Another thing is, I thought maybe it could be like a testing the waters to like see how much like response they get of people being like, oh my gosh, I want to see that happen. You know, if they get an overwhelming positive response, maybe that'll, you know, help push Stone Cold into it a little bit.
Let's just put it this way. Around the time when the whole like CM Punk Austin rumors were floating around, don't you think it's a little bit coincidental that, or I'm sorry, don't you think it's not at all coincidental that there just happened to be a panel about the new video game that featured both Stone Cold and CM Punk together on stage talking trash about each other and be like, you know, well, on this video game, me and you can duke it out and find out who really is. And then it's like, okay, well, we need to find out in real life kind of thing. Like, they were talking trash the entire time.
Yeah.
I don't think it's coincidental. It just, you know, ultimately it didn't work out for whatever reason.
Well, so that was another question I had after all that, was like, how far in advance do they book these things?
I don't know.
Because, like, the Sting thing, like, that, for Sting to be included in the video game, they, you know, and if they knew...
Well, they kind of did the same thing with Ultimate Warrior the year before that, because, like, when... Like, it was an entire year before the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a surprise, he's like, oh yeah, we're going to feature him on the video game, and here he is in the video game commercial.
Yeah.
And then, like, a year later, he's in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So, it's kind of like that with the video game. Like, we knew that there... he also been, like, a part of, like, a WWE panel at Comic-Con. For Mattel or something, for the toys or whatever.
Mm.
And that was, like, months and months and months before he ever stepped foot on WWE TV.
So, we know they're talking...
Yeah, we knew that there was a contract in the works.
Yeah.
Or they had a contract. We didn't know if it was a actual, like, live talent.
Yeah.
Like, you know? Or how
complete
contract.
Was the contract? You know, as far as booking matches, mm-hmm. I imagine...
And then eventually it was like, okay, it's not really a matter of if, but when kind of thing. So we were all just...
And how much? You know, is this
and how many times we're going to see him?
Yeah, is this guy just going to be a guest referee for some match? You know, hey, you know, he's here and cuts a promo and that's it? Or is it going to be like a full-on match? Or is it going to be like some Raw appearances and, you know,
so,
pay-per-view? Or
I think, honestly, I think it's a card that's been in WWE's back pocket that they haven't used for strategic reasons, because Stone Cold's very much the kind of guy where, like, he's not going to come back for just anybody.
Yeah,
for just anybody.
Well, even medically.
Yeah. Even medically, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, for a while, the rumor was that the only guy that he would be interested in working with would be CM Punk.
Yeah.
Now he's out of the equation. But who else is hotter in this company than Brock Lesnar?
Sure.
You know? That makes complete sense.
Even Stone Cold himself said that it seems
and
like he'd be using up all that hype that Brock Lesnar's built
lately. And there's
lately.
History because, you know... When Stone Cold, like, you know, whenever that CM Punk thing was going on, Stone Cold was talking about the time that he walked out. Why did he walk out? Because it was a King of the Ring qualifier match on Raw. Just a regular Raw that he was going to be him versus Brock Lesnar, and he was going to lose to Brock Lesnar on Raw. And he didn't agree with that booking.
Yeah.
He thought it was dumb, and he walked away himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he still says that's the biggest mistake he's ever made in his career.
Yeah.
So, there's even history, so they can use that as well.
Maybe.
I don't know. You can fantasy book this.
Oh, yeah.
In many ways.
And I think that's largely why they did it.
Right. They got they got us talking. They got us interested. And it's more people that's interested in that network.
Yeah.
You know? So ultimately, yes, fine. You did a good job, WWE. You did your job. And
rely on Paul Heyman.
Exactly. Rely on Paul Heyman and good things will happen with your money.
He just got done talking about selling via promo.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Paul Heyman was sitting there telling you how to do a promo, and then they did a promo.
Yeah.
In the most perfect fashion imaginable.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, no, there's no coincidence there. so, it's one of those things where, like, it could just be this, and just something to get people talking, get people excited, whatever. And then ultimately we'll be disappointed and we'll have a new WrestleMania taboo. But I don't know, it's going to be a possibility, and I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah.
Ahead of time.
Short explanation, we're excited. We're curious.
Essentially, yeah. We're curious. You know, especially since Paul Heyman was like, you know, he bluntly said, you know, hey, it's no secret that, you know, Brock will be coming back sometime soon.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something that we pretty much all kind of figured. Especially
I mean,
SummerSlam is mere months away.
We were thinking it, so, you know, right. It is.
So, I don't know, it's going to be something that's going to be in the back of a lot of people's minds for a while until we get to the WrestleMania 32 build-up.
I think SummerSlam, if we see any indications here in the near future, it's going to be at SummerSlam. You know, of what Brock is going to be doing.
Yeah.
At SummerSlam, and then after SummerSlam. Those would be the next tea leaves to read, I think.
Yeah, I don't... I think at the earliest we might... If I had to put money on it, I think the earliest we would ever see anything between the two of them possibly would more than likely be around Survivor Series.
As far as Steve Austin showing up.
Right. Because that was, you know, they like that kind of time frame, especially for a lot of their big matches, you know.
Yeah.
Some of them they'll wait until, you know, either Royal Rumble or the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania, mm-hmm. you know, to really kick things in high gear. For the big stuff, they like it a long time ahead. Like Sting last year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so he showed up
and weirdly enough, the King and Cole thing. Like, they started that way ahead of time.
I remember they started a long way away. But, yeah, so Sting came out right at the end of Survivor Series, but then we didn't hear anything from him for quite a time after that.
Right, but it essentially had planted the seed between him and,
right.
and Triple H, right. Yeah. So it's something that kind of planning it now, and if that's the case, then that might be like the biggest build up we've seen since before
Rock and Cena
won,
yeah,
with a year ahead of time.
Yeah.
I guess that's really it for this week. I don't think we did this last week. What's making you happy, Neil?
I didn't have anything last week. Yes, and then we got distracted by something.
Right. Yeah. What's making me happy is the WWE live event. That you were not at.
Yeah.
Because you're a dork.
Yeah, a little bit.
And you missed out on so much. A, we ran into one of our favorite guests ever, Chastity Taylor.
Oh, yeah, shout out to her.
Yeah, shout out to her. And funny story, I think she was, like, a couple rows ahead of us, like, to our left.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, like, in the section next to us.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of our friends, I think he was on Twitter or something, and she just, like, at that moment, she posted a photo of her with the ring in the background, and he was like, oh, she's here. And then he, like, held up his phone and was, like, looking at where the ring was in relation to him, and he was trying to figure out where she was, and then he just kind of slightly looked to his left, and bam, there she was. And so he looked at me, and he was like, Chris. I was like, what? He's like, pointed in her direction. It's Chastity Taylor. I was like, I could see, like, the back of her head.
You know, I could just and be like, a blonde girl, you know.
Yeah, like, okay, okay, stop being a creeper. And then he was like, no, it's her. And I'm like, okay, fine, let's settle this. I pull out my phone, I dialed her number, and which was, you know, which is odd, because me and her, like, you know, I have her number just in case we ever want to have her on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
And she's busy and everything.
So, right. You know, or if there's, like, a local show or something that she wants us to know about.
Yeah.
Whatever. She could let us know, because she's obviously in the loop more than we are. So, I don't, like, contact her all that often. So, I held the phone in my ear, and I was, like, looking in the direction that Jason was pointing at. And I saw that person, like, look down at their phone, kind of, like, throw their head back, like, wow, that's weird. And hold up the phone to her ear, and then, like, I got I got the words, hey, are you at the gir-? And then I saw her stand up, look around, and I'm like, behind you. And she looked around, I was like, oh my God! And she ran over. She ran over, and like, the me, her, and Joel just kind of geeked out about wrestling.
Yeah. Follow-up.
Because we haven't talked to her in a while.
Sure.
So there was all this other stuff to talk about. Like, we were all so, and this was before Elimination Chamber, so we were all like, oh my God, what's going to happen with this Kevin Owens thing? Like, so, and apparently she didn't know that Ghost Joel had gotten married, so.
Aw.
That was like, oh my God, this is Mrs. Ghost Joel.
Yeah, yeah.
Ghostina
Joel? I don't know.
Yeah, but, well, okay, let's, Joel's the only one that's dead. Heather's still alive.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so, Mrs. Ghost Joel probably is misleading.
Yeah.
So, and but, all that aside, it was a fun event. It was the first time I'd been to a house show. Because
mm-hmm.
I only been to
the you've been to Raw's, live Raw's in Greensboro, but right. They haven't had one of those in quite some time.
Honestly, this is the first time WWE had been in Greensboro. It had been a couple years, because I believe the last time I think it was a SmackDown live
event. I was going to say, I think we've had a SmackDown.
It was a SmackDown live event last year. But it had been a while, and the crowd was huge. Oh, yeah, it helps that the tickets are a little bit cheaper than what Raw would do.
Yeah,
be. I think we were in the upper section, and it was like $15.
Yeah, okay.
So, a lot of kids.
Yeah.
Dear Lord, a lot of kids. Like, even more so.
They probably sold some merchandise, then.
I'm sure they did. But again, it was one of those things where it's like, you know, the tickets are cheaper, so let's bring all the kids.
Yeah, okay.
And it was... The only bad thing is... It was so aggravating to go use the bathroom.
Well, that's because
there's a bunch of kids are standing there at the urinal.
Don't know what they're doing. And...
Well, no, they're at the urinal, and then there's kids behind them, like trying to mess with them, like
oh really?
Like you know, trying to like push them into the urinal, oh. or just be dumb kids. And
yeah,
I don't like kids. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But all that said, it was a fun night. I wish you could have joined us. It would have been pretty awesome. I don't think you've been to a WWE event.
No, I haven't actually.
Oh my God, get with it! All right, so all that out of the way. Hopefully, we will have Q on next week. If not, hey Neil, how's it going?
Hey bud, I live down the road.
Pretty much. So remember that we are on Twitter at CR Attire, where we. Try to live tweet Raws when we can, but we absolutely live tweet all pay-per-views. Sometimes, you know, during the week, just random stuff that we find or whatever. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classyringattire@gmail.com. We are also on iTunes, where you can find old episodes of the show. You can have all of our new episodes delivered straight to you on your iTunes or on your iPhone device or however you get your iTunes or your iTunes. and while you're on there, if you could just rate and review Classic Ring Attire, we really appreciate it. It helps us out a lot. And if you're listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. All comments typically get used in the mail sack segment. So... That's a good way to kind of give us feedback. And finally, we are on Facebook. Classic Ring Attire. Just search for us on Facebook or facebook.com/classicringattire. We keep you updated with the show. We let you know when, you know, new episodes have dropped. And again, anything interesting we find online. And we're going to start, you know, posting stuff that me and Joel are kind of up to that not necessarily are wrestling related. So... All that out there, we are good to go.
5 stars.
My name is Chris, and on behalf of Neil, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.
I said on behalf of you, jerk.